Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So Good morning, Saints. My name is Hilary Tuyagenda, also known as Doc Hill. It is my absolute honor and privilege to be speaking to you today at the invitation of Pastor Moses Musinguzi. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we ask that as we commune over the word, as we interact with heaven, that an intervention from the Almighty will be made in the lives of everyone under the sound of this voice, and that these interventions may prove to be miracles of which they shall testify, saying the Lord has done great things and he is greatly to be praised. Well, we thank God. This is a day when I'm going to speak to you about something amazing. The Lord has placed it on my heart to speak to you about remembrance. When we talk about remembrance, I am thinking of three things that will bring it out that the Lord wants me to convey. Number one is why to remember, or in other words, what remembering is for. And then number two is what to remember. And then number three is how to remember. Glory to Jesus. So I'll begin on why to remember. The scripture shows us, if we ponder on it, that one of the things that comes from remembering is that it prompts action. That is the first thing, and you'll see it in Philippians 1:3, for example, and 4, where it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request for you with joy. This is the Apostle Paul showing us how remembrance prompted him to the action of prayer. And I'm sure it must have in the same way prompted him to other actions like giving, like preaching, like this and that. And this he didn't just mention in Philippians, he mentioned it in Ephesians, in Colossians, and in other places, that he remembered and the remembrance prompted an action. Now, if we say why to remember, this is one of the things that should come to mind. We should be interested in remembering because it will prompt action. Number two, why we remember, is that it causes evaluation. Hallelujah. And here I think of Peter, who had been told by the Lord that he was going to deny the Lord. The Lord predicted it. Peter refused it. He refused to hear it. But the Lord insisted that before the cock crowed two times, before the cock crowed two times, he was going to deny the Lord three times. So some little time passed, and then it happened. He hadn't noticed that it had happened. And then the cock crowed. When the cock crowed, the Bible tells us that he remembered what the Lord had told him. The Lord had told him that he was going to deny him. And boy, did that cause some self-assessment or self-realization. He was caused to see himself as he is. Like we sometimes say, it caused him to, assess himself, to see where he stood with the Lord, to see what kind of man he was. Glory to Jesus. Now, remembrance will do this. It is not necessarily something to be feared. No. We should have a healthy sense of the things that are important to God and so on and so forth, so that when we are in situations where we have, deviated, gone off the line a bit, we will remember, and it will help us to know. You see, the Bible says that let every man examine himself to see whether he is still in the faith. But you're not going to do that if you don't know that examining yourself is important to begin with. But if you do know that examining yourself is important in the first place, then it is going to give you a sense of awareness of moments when you need to evaluate yourself. You see, so when you don't know about it, it's not going to happen much, but when you know about it, it's going to prompt you when, glory to God, when that comes due. You do something and men, you remember that when a man does such a thing or when a woman does such a thing, this is what it means that they are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's important. It causes evaluation. Now, number three is that it guides policy. When I say it guides policy, I can also include in that planning or the ideas that guide our actions, glory to God, or the ideas that guide our endeavors, hallelujah, in the way we see how things should be done and how we plan. There are things that are not so shiny or that are not, they don't speak for themselves as much as other things, so they can easily be left out or overlooked. Yes, they are just as important as some of the things that are more prominent by themselves. Glory to God. In fact, that is why you never need much to remember things that are shiny. And by shiny here, I mean they are prominent. They speak for themselves. Like when Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem on the question of circumcision and so on, generally about their preaching. And among the conclusions that were made by the core apostles there, they were told to just remember these few recommendations. And one of them is they were told not to forget the poor. Glory to God. Now, that's a perfect example. That means that in doing our activities, something like the poor may not be a priority for us because the poor don't tend to offer us much. They don't tend to help much. They rather take much. So it shows why it would be necessary to remember them, because they are also God's people. Glory to God. Now, strangely, by the way, the reverse is true in other scenarios. Like now for the rich, James says, you know, we shouldn't be partial. We shouldn't, you know, see a rich man walk into church and then say to this poor man, you know, leave this privileged seat and go to an, you know, sit down there, and then we give the rich man the nice place. This strangely gets reversed in some other areas, like in witnessing. When people are witnessing, they naturally, it's like there's this natural tendency to want to go to the poor, because they seem to be more receptive, all the people from the lowest classes of society. In that world of things, the reverse is true. It's the rich that need to be remembered, I think, because they tend to be neglected. So I hope you see my point. When I say remembrance guides policy, I mean that remembrance helps us not to have gaps in our plans because of overlooking certain things that are not as appealing to us. You see, so you're planning your activities, then you remember the young ones. You're making a policy for a company or for a school, and then you remember the casual workers of the school. You see that's a benefit of remembering. So we are saying, why would you need to remember, or why remember? Because it will guide policy. It will help you to know how foolproof your policy is, how effective your policy is, how much your policy covers all its bases or covers all the bases. Glory to Jesus. Very important. Then the third, this is actually the third. Now the fourth thing why we remember is that it tracks execution. When I say tracking execution, I mean it helps you know how you are doing in terms of getting a job done. And here we are including the ultimate job, which is the job of you moving towards your destiny. But there are many subsets in there. The job of getting married. You see, for example, when you're going to get married, as you're going along, these reminders here and there, did you call so-and-so? Have you arranged for the honeymoon? Have you done this? They will help you to track execution, to track how you are executing the plan or the or executing for the goal or the agenda. Glory to God. Or if the Lord has led you to start a church, or you're running a church, you see these reminders of, did you do this? Or have we forgotten to do this? They are helping you to track how are we doing on the job we are supposed to be doing. Glory to God. And I liken it to like cooking food. When you're cooking food, as you're moving in the process, you remember, salt. I need to be putting salt by now. And then at some point you'll feel like, now I've been on high heat for too long. I need to lower the heat so that the meat can simmer for some time. And then even there are some of those reminders that will come to you, they will reinforce your sense of progress when you find that the thing you've remembered, you've actually done it. So you remember, haven't I forgotten to put salt? Then you remember, no, I actually put it. Then you're moving along and doing something. Then you're like, I need to lower the heat. Then you realize when you check, you find that you had already lowered it. You see, it's helping you feel like, oh yeah, that's great. Let's keep going. You see that? The reminders are helping you to track execution. And we need that. We all need that. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then number five is that we need to remember, or the reason to remember, or why to remember, is that it teaches you what you will down the road see was the right thing, was actually a learning, but you wouldn't have known it because this was probably new territory or something you're not familiar to. But the reminder helped you to do something just in a sense of like intuitively, like we say. For example, if you're driving to a town that you've never driven to, and then along the way you already have like a half tank of fuel, you probably in your thoughts you had thought that you might even need a quarter of a tank, but you put extra, you put like half. But as you're driving, you see a petrol station and you just get a feeling of, haven't I forgotten to put more fuel? Might this journey not end up being longer than I thought? And then you're like, okay, let me put the fuel. And then when you get further and further on your journey, you realize, actually when you arrive, you realize the extra you put wasn't even just extra, it was exactly what you needed. So you learnt without necessarily knowing that what you are doing was helping you learn, or it was the right thing to do. Glory to Jesus. Now that's the same thing with life. As you're going on in life, you may buy a house, and as far as you know, you've done everything people who buy houses do. But then you kind of feel, haven't you forgotten to buy, what are they called? These portable swimming pools that you pump pressure into. And you just feel like, haven't you forgotten? Isn't that something that might be needed in a place like this, you know, for your kids and whatnot? And then you realize you do it, and then down the road you find it was not just a luxurious thought. It was actually exactly what you needed to do in exactly that time. So I'm telling you that it taught you. The reminder taught you something that you didn't know would be a learning. You didn't know would actually turn out to be exactly what you needed to be doing. Glory to God. So it sort of taught you experimentally, or it taught you, like what they say, empirically. It taught you futuristically. It taught you in the sense that you will only see what it taught you in time. Like how they say, time will tell. So, glory to Jesus. I believe you understand that. So, why to remember are those five reasons. It prompts action. It causes evaluation. Number three, it guides policy. Number four, it tracks execution. And number five, it teaches futuristically, or it teaches in a way where you will only know that it taught you as time goes by. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, can we move to what to remember? Having seen why to remember, we do need to understand what to remember. In scripture, the Bible tells us, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13, verse 15, it keeps repeating this thing, you know, I want you to have these things in remembrance. Verse 12, for example, says, it says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Look at that, put you in remembrance. Then verse 13, it says, yea, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's the second time he brings it up. And then he continues, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this tent, his body, in other words, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Then verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease or after my death to have these things always in remembrance. So you're thinking, you're really telling us about remembrance. What is the big deal here? And then you see it in verse 16 when he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So, if I may summarize what essentially Peter is saying that he needs them to have in remembrance, is what I can summarize as how the faith of the church has been assured. Men, brothers, sisters, this is one of the things that needs to be constantly brought to our remembrance by ourselves or in ourselves or all to ourselves. We need to constantly remember how the faith of the church has been assured. And Peter here is showing us that one of the ways that God assured the faith of the church, in other words, assured the church that they were not following a game or a trick or something that is baloney, something that is fake, is that he used a number of spectacular confirmations. One of them was, of course, how Jesus was born and the events around his birth. We know them, the Bethlehem events and so on. And then we also know about the events of the baptism of Jesus, how the dove-like manifestation of the Holy Spirit came to confirm, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the same reoccurred in this incident that Peter is referring to when he says, we were with him on the holy mountain. That is the Mount of Transfiguration, where, if you remember, Elijah and Moses appeared speaking with him of his death, and Peter and James and John, as representatives of the apostles and the wider group of disciples, witnessed so that they might write such things like what he wrote here, that my friends, we were there on that day when the voice came to him from the excellent glory saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him, hear him, glory to God. And then, of course, in the same way, this event which foreshadowed the death and resurrection then brought us to the ultimate seal on the faith of Christians, which is that Jesus being raised from the dead was the final nail in the coffin, if we might say in reverse, glory to God. That's the kind of assurance that leads Paul to say in 1 Corinthians 15 that, brethren, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then are you still in your sins? And then is our faith empty? And then is our preaching nothing? We've preached for nothing. You've believed for nothing. Hallelujah. And it's all a big nothing. But, hallelujah, because of these great reassuring confirmations that the Lord has made, we must be assured of how our faith has been assured as Christians. Hallelujah. That is something to be reminded of. And if you analyze here, that's what Peter is blabbering about, if I may say. That's what he's belaboring here. He's trying to insist, remember this. And then he's even saying, even after I die, remember this. Because that's what he said in verse 15, that even after I'm dead, I want you to have this remembrance with you, that we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! This is great. So this is one of the things we are to remember. We must constantly remember how the faith of the church has been assured. Number two is that we must remember that we are going to be judged. As the book of Proverbs says, you know, one of the scriptures there in Proverbs, which I'll not quote here, but I think we remember it from our Sunday school days, is how they would quote that scripture in Proverbs, which says, "And young man, what does the Lord require of you?" Was it Proverbs or Psalms? "That young man, what does the Lord require of you?" No, he says, "Young man, how can you keep your way pure?" Or "how can a young man keep his way pure?" And then he says that, "By keeping the word of the Lord in his heart," or hiding the word of the Lord in his heart. Then there was the other scripture we used to use a lot coupled with that. And that was the scripture saying, "Young man, enjoy the days of your youth." But then it would end on this note saying, "But remember that the Lord is going to judge you." I find that scripture actually the perfect statement of this. That the scripture is showing that remembering that you should be judged is a solemn thing. It's something that causes seriousness in anyone who hears it. But yet at the same time, it is also something that is to be done by somebody who is enjoying life. It's not saying that remembering that you're going to be judged should mean that's the end of joy, that's the end of having a good time. No, it says enjoy your youth, but remember that the Lord is going to judge you. So there must be a way that you can do both. You can enjoy life and remember that the Lord is going to judge you. Obviously, there is. And I think that we should take that to heart. Praise the name of Jesus. Number three, what we are to remember is that we are to remember our advantages and privilege. We should know how privileged we are. And that is for every one of us. Every one of us is privileged in some measure. You see, there's always somebody that you're more privileged than, just like there's always someone more privileged than you. Praise the name of Jesus. And that I remember from the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man was in hell and he was telling Abraham, you know, "Tell Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in some water and cool my tongue." And Abraham told him, "Man, you remember how in your earthly time," notice that, "you remember how in your earthly time you ate sumptuously, you were well taken care of, but Lazarus, whom the dogs licked," I mean they licked his sores, "he was at your gate craving even just the crumbs that would fall from your table." Now, that of course was a man who had already gone to the afterlife, but it's a lesson for us who are in this life, that have you forgotten that you are privileged? Have you forgotten how well off you are compared to another person? And has that led you to neglect somebody? Or has it also led you to neglect what the Bible says, that to whom much is given, much shall be required? This is an important thing to have in mind. There might be so much the Lord is expecting of you, but because you have forgotten how privileged you are thinking that life is good in a sense. But we do need to remember, glory to God. And also, of course, with that, we need to remember how we got where we are. So many stories we hear from tycoons and people who are well off are misleading in making people think that, oh, this guy saved for years and years and years. But so many times people fail to remember somebody made a phone call that helped you get that job. Somebody, introduced you to somebody that helped you get that plot of land or something. Whatever it is, you are privileged. And being as privileged as you are, then how ought you to hold yourself to account? Hallelujah. Then number four. What we have to remember is God's miracles, God's works. The Bible tells us in Psalm 78, I will not give you the verse. I'll let you look that one up. Two verses, actually. One of the verses in there tells us, they forgot his works. They forgot the works of God. And then the other verse says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Yes, sometimes it is okay to join scriptures like that. Glory to God. And in this case, in this particular instance, it is safe. When you forget the works of God, you limit the Holy One of Israel. Jesus also spoke to the disciples one time when he was telling them about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they thought he was reprimanding them for not having carried enough bread. And he said, when we had 5 loaves, and fed the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments did you pick up? And then they told him. And then he said, and when we had 7 loaves, and fed the 4,000, how many baskets did you take up? And then he says, how is it that you don't know that I'm not speaking to you about bread? And then they concluded that, oh, he meant the leaven of the teaching of the Pharisees. And then the Bible says, because their hearts were hardened, they had forgotten the miracle of the loaves. We need to remember the miracles of God. And of course, the ultimate miracle is the redemptive work of Jesus, what he did on the cross, which the Holy Communion teaches us to remember. Jesus said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Doing what? Do this, this what? This breaking of the bread in remembrance that my body was broken for you, and this taking of the wine in remembrance that this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He told them to do this in remembrance of him. Glory to Jesus. Now, another thing the Bible tells us to remember is, it tells us to remember, oh, is it the Bible or it's people? It's what we have learned over time, is that you need to remember the people that have played a major role at the key moments of your life. Sometimes it's a turning moment, sometimes it's a defining moment or a moment of crisis. These people that have been there for you, whether a friend or a colleague at work, or a parent, or this and that, you need to remember them. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And then, yeah, there's more I could talk about, but we're out of time. I would like you to ponder on these things. Take them to heart. I believe God is going to speak something amazing to you when we connect again. And let this word sink down into your heart. Be blessed. And call somebody, love on somebody, touch somebody, call Pastor Moses, call the administrators at church, and encourage somebody, be blessed. Let us remember to remember. First, to know why to remember, and then second, to know what to remember. And then next Sunday, I'll tell you about how to remember. Glory to Jesus.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.